The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. Hope you're all having a good time, a good day. Mine's been interesting today so far, no big deal. But if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Now, I'm planning Thursday and Friday to be out of the studio, traveling to Salt Lake City here from Idaho. Now, that's a plan, but it rings up in the air because of medical stuff with people and things, if I can do it or not. But the idea is to get down there and go to the Hindu festival. And so Friday night, I'm actually thinking about if I do go down there, it's either Thursday night or probably Friday night. Well, I want to have a dinner someplace if people are interested in joining, meeting out that area. I know people listen. We could, I don't know, if someone wants to set it up, like Laura, at a place that's not too noisy. And we could just say, hey, I'll be at a certain place at a certain time. And anybody who shows up. It'll be fun. That's Friday. That's the plan. So that if I'm on the air Thursday and Friday here, then you know it didn't work. But that's the plan, for me to come down Thursday, spend Friday down there, do some stuff, go to the Hindu festival Saturday and Sunday, drive back on Monday. There you go. See? Schedule. Ooh, yeah. Hey, look, three open lines. Give me a call. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, Master. My question is, because Christ died for our past and present future sins, we don't have to no longer ask for forgiveness on sins, only confess our sins for acknowledgement of our sins only?
Yeah, all our sins are taken care of, so why ask forgiveness for that which is already forgiven? That's a logical thing, but an experientially thing and a relationship thing. It's just good to confess our sins to the Lord and say, please cleanse me. And that's what I do. I say, Lord, you know, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I technically know it's already taken care of on the cross. I just go through this because it's a relationship. It's fellowship. It's intimacy with my Lord. It's confession. And I think it's good. Now, technically, do I have to do it? I don't believe so. But on the other hand, yeah. You know, it's like my wife and I might have a problem or an argument or something. I know her love for me isn't going to fade because of that. But still, I need to go and say, hey, sorry, and whatever it might be, because it's just good for fellowship. It's good for intimacy, and it's good for relationship. I think that's a good thing. So you see what I'm saying? Are you there?
I'm still here. So, but sometimes I hear some preachers say, well, if you don't confess your sin when you commit a sin, you'll die in your sins and you go to hell. Because they don't understand the whole concept
of there's
the redemption of planet salvation.
Yeah. The theological term for that is abject stupidity. That's what that term is. It's just abject stupidity. It's idiocy, stupidity, lameness. If you don't confess every sin, then you die without confessing it, you go to hell. So in other words, your salvation is dependent on how good you are and how you confess everything. Well, what if you don't remember all your sins? What if you you go to confess a sin and you kind of forget about it? You know, you just forget and then you don't confess it. Oh, I'm sorry, got to go to hell now. It's just absolute stupidity for people to say that. They're amateur theologians who should not be allowed to preach or teach. Okay? All right, buddy? You're making a lot of noise back there.
All right,
so,
thank you, sir. God bless you.
All right, man. All right, Alberto. God bless. Hey, folks, four open lines. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's see. How do you pronounce your name? Ulf? From Raleigh, North Carolina?
Rudolph, man.
Rudolph. Somebody, I won't mention who, a man named Keith, didn't put out the whole word there on the thing. So, anyway, no big deal. What's up, buddy?
Today, I listened to two preachers on Truth Network. One said this morning that the reason why that America is not in biblical prophecy is because we're gonna be gone.
Yeah.
So to talk about the rapture. And then on Saturday, Jan Mark Hale from Understanding the Times, she said that there are two raptures. Is that true?
No. There's not two raptures. And, you know, though I believe we're going to go through the tribulation period, you know, I would just say, because it's my very strong opinion, I would debate these guys on it publicly. But no, there's not two raptures. There's only one. The dispensational position that does this kind of stuff, when it defends what I believe is to be, you know, a soft error, just leads to more errors. And the idea of two raptures is just unbiblical. It's not true. It's just not there. There's only one. Of Christians, okay. That is, right? Of Christians, right. Okay.
You know how you said you put out a challenge for female pastors?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Why? Can you issue the same challenge for the rapture? Because that right there is huge in the American church.
Yeah, but you see, the rapture pre, mid, post is all debatable, and it's not, there's nothing that says, there's nothing in the scripture that specifically says something like it does with women pastors and elders, where it says the elder must be a man of one woman, a husband of one wife. It's got to be male. And, you know, it's clear. And Paul says he's giving instruction of the household of God when he's talking about this. And so women pastors and elders are just rejecting God's word. They're rejecting at least that section of God's word. And so I'll say it again, as I've said it so many times in the past, if any woman pastor wants to debate me on it from Scripture, I'd be glad to come out to your church. We can have it filmed, whatever, you know, put on the web, and we'll debate it. Does the Bible support women pastors and elders? That'd be the debate topic. And as I've been offering this debate topic for, I don't know, I've been on radio 17 years, not one single challenger has, or not one person has ever taken me up on it. Now, why do you think that is? Why do you think? You know, I'm on, I don't know how many stations here out on the East Coast, and you know that there are people hearing this. You know there are people driving along going, man, you cannot be right. I got a woman pastor. She's a good woman. You know, all this stuff. Go talk to that woman pastor and see if the woman pastor says, no, I'm not going to waste my time. Really? 1 Peter 3:15 commands you to give an answer to everyone who would ask. I'm asking. I will fly out there to the East Coast, and, you know, I'll go up and down the coast preaching and teaching. I'll do it. You know, I'll have debates in more than one place. I don't care. I'd be glad to do it. But it won't happen, because they don't want to use the Word of God in that respect, because it does not support their mistake, their error, their rebellion against God. And I would say it to them, that they're in rebellion. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, buddy, God bless. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Now, Cameron, a friend of mine, called me, and he said, hey, Matt, did you hear about this thing? And so I haven't had much time to check it out, because it was right before the radio show. And he sent me a link on my phone, which I've got, I'm looking at. And the article has to do with the Pope, Mary, and some stuff. I haven't read it, so I'm going to go through a little bit of it here, because there's no callers waiting right now. And it says, here's what you need to know about consecration of Russia and Ukraine by Pope Francis. And this is what is really interesting, is Pope Francis will consecrate Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary later this month. Wow. We'll to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I just have to say this. This is just idolatry. In fact, in this article I'm looking at, CatholicNewsAgency.com, there's a picture of Pope Francis in front of the statue, the icon, the idol of Mary, of Fatima, that is sitting there. In fact, what I'll probably end up doing is reading you the quotes from Fatima, what this apparition stated, and the apparition is clearly not really her from what it says. So, it's really interesting, committing to the Sacred Heart of Mary, not to Jesus, of course not to Jesus. No, it has to be to the what is the Immaculate Heart of Mary anyway? You know, I've got to research this. What is the Immaculate Heart of Mary? And I tried to research it once before. I could really never get a good answer. So I'm going to have to do that again. Maybe I'll write an article on it. What is the Immaculate Heart of Mary? Boy, doesn't that sound, it is so special, you know? Let's see. So, yeah, there are late. Oh, it just gets me, you know. My Immaculate Heart will be a refuge in the way that leads you to God. Oh, my goodness. This is on a Marian.org. I'm just researching, just while we're talking here. It's just horrible. Okay, anyway. I'll research it during the break, and we'll get to it a little bit more. I got four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Austin from Utah. Hey, Austin, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, thanks for having me.
Sure.
I just wanted to call in and just say thank you. I grew up LDS, and has to be 15 years ago, when I was serving as an LDS missionary, I had tried to email you and try to essentially correct you and teach you about Mormonism, and you very graciously emailed me back and forth for a while. You probably don't remember this at all, and that's fine. But that grace that you showed me was a stepping stone for me to eventually come to Christ. I was saved about a year ago, and I've since left the church. And so I wanted to thank you for that, and for the work that you do, and for really showing me that grace when I really needed it the most.
Wow, that is so good. You know, praise God for that, you know. He's so good, and wow, you just gave him all the glory. That is so good to hear. I'm just so tickled. Well, what was it that brought you out? Was it just a bunch of things, or is it any one thing that was the final last straw? Or if you want to say, just curious.
Yeah, I mean, a number of things, right? Like, I mean, you've probably talked with enough former Mormons to know all of the different reasons why somebody would leave, right? So I left the church before I became a Christian. Left, kind of spent a while being lost. So I left for all of the reasons, right? The Book of Abraham being fraud, the racism, all of those different things.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until probably about a year after I left that God really drew me back to him, and then eventually into a relationship with him through Jesus.
Amen. Wow, that's awesome to hear. Yeah, I'm just tickled, you know, tickled to know that by God's grace, you know, I had a small part of that, but his gracious movement in saving you. So where are you in Utah? Just curious, if you don't mind me asking.
No, of course. I live in Lehi.
Oh, okay, not too far. Hey, you're about a half hour, 40 minutes south of Spanish Fork, am I right?
No, about a half hour north of Spanish Fork, half hour south of Salt Lake.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I've been down there a few times, so I don't have it all memorized. But, you know, because I'm going to be down there.
No, that's fair.
I'm going to be down there. But, hey, if you want to hold, please do. If not, that's okay. And we've got a break, okay? All right. It's up to you. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have, four open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Let's just, we lost Austin. That's all right. Hey, Austin. It was great talking to you, though. It really was. Hey, four open lines. If you want to give me a call, folks, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Nancy from California. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine.
So I keep hearing from a couple of teachers that Christ came back in 70 AD. Why would they preach that, or where are they getting this from, and why?
There's a division in Cracker Jack candy popcorn things where they had the theology section, and then they get it out of the Cracker Jack box. That's one view. Yeah, and
but
the preterists.
Where are they even pulling this out from?
Well, they want to say that Jesus returned in the war in the armies of Rome to destroy Jerusalem. That's what they say in 70 AD. It's called full preterism or just regular preterism. But here's the thing that refutes it, absolutely refutes it. This is what Acts 1, 9 through 11, this is when Jesus ascended into heaven, okay? He ascended into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. And after he said these things, he was lifted up while they, that's the disciples, were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So what I'm going to conclude is that he was lifted up, they were looking mm-hmm. on, and a cloud received him,
mm-hmm.
looking up, a cloud. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. So now these people are looking up into the sky where the cloud was. And they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? See, I don't think I'm misreading this. I look in the sky where the cloud was, where Jesus went to. This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. That's how he's going to come back. It's not going to come back. Yeah, it's just, and so I've talked to somebody about this recently, and they said, well, you see the word sky, the word this, the word that.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm sorry, it doesn't work. You know, it's just too plain, too clear. Yeah. So.
Is it okay if I ask another question?
You just did.
No, I mean, after
another?
This.
Yeah, that's another question. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So I had a dream, and it was kind of scary where I woke up like at 3 or 4 in the morning to almost like a robotic type of person where they had white plates going down like army with guns and not allowing us to go into the street. And do you think that God still speaks to us in our dreams?
Yes.
Like, could that be a warning?
Well, I don't know about your particular instance, but I just can't speak about
uh-huh.
it to it, don't know. But in Acts chapter 2, it says that in the last days, your young man will dream dreams, etc. And of course, that includes the ladies too. Dream dreams and have visions and things like that. And it says we are in the last days. So I have no problem with that. Now, is it from him? I don't know. But you'd have to have it confirmed and things like that. Now, I do know that Muslims are having visions and dreams of Jesus throughout the Middle East, and are converting by the thousands. So I know that's happening. Can God speak to us in visions and dreams today as Christians? I don't see why not. Now, is it the case that it's happening all the time? I don't know. But doctrinally speaking, I don't see any problem with it.
It's kind of hard, though, to tell, like, to know the difference when it's, you know, from you or from God. Like, you don't want to,
yep.
like...
That's right. So what you do...
How do you get confirmation? Biblically speaking, obviously.
What you do
How
is,
do you get confirmation?
What you do is...
Oh, sorry,
you,
go ahead.
Okay. So what you do is you pray and ask God to confirm or not confirm, to increase... the issue, burden, desire, want. I'm hearing some weird noises. What is that behind you? What is that? Are you doing something?
Okay. No. Oh, maybe I still have my phone with you live. Would that?
Oh, okay. No,
but I
no,
had
I,
it on mute.
Oh, okay. Weird. I hear something weird. It sounds like someone's chewing. But at any rate, you have to be in prayer about it to see if the Lord is speaking to you, to see. And you don't want to just go off it on your own. You want to talk to people who are spiritual, who you trust, and see if they can pray to and see. Because God can certainly do things, but if he's going to be communicating to anybody in a vision or a dream, as it says in Acts 2:17, it shall be in the last days, God said, I'll pour forth my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I'll pour forth my spirit. and they shall prophesy. And so the Bible says we're in the last days. So I'm forced by biblical scripture to say that this is still possible. It doesn't mean what you had happen is from God, but I'm not saying it isn't either. But I'm just saying you have to check everything with scripture, and you pray through it, you wait on it, you talk, if you think it is, you talk to somebody else, maybe a pastor, an elder, and stuff like that. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. Where are you in California? Because I see you're from Cali. Because I used to live there for a long time. I'm just curious.
Oh, really? Central.
Yeah. Central?
Central California.
Okay. Yeah, I was in Southern California for, I don't know, 30 years or so. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know.
Yeah,
didn't
Orange
know
County. Orange County, Riverside County, L.A. County, and San Diego County. I've lived all of those. So, anyway, no big deal. All right, well, God bless. Appreciate it.
All right. You take care.
Bye-bye. You too. All right. Okay. Hey, we have five open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. So, I was looking at this Immaculate Heart of Mary stuff during the break, and it's clearly idolatry. Let me explain something about what idolatry is, but I have to teach a little bit of theology to do this. So, bear with me if you would. See, God has certain properties, characteristics that belong to Him alone. And then there are characteristics that come from God that we can participate in. The ones that are from Him alone are such things as omniscience. He has all knowledge. Omnisapience. He has all wisdom. We don't have all knowledge and we don't have all wisdom, so we cannot partake in those. God is eternal in the past and in the future. Well, we don't have that eternal past nature, and we're going to continue on with Him, but we don't have the eternal nature. And He has a quality called aseity, which is His eternal independence. But we are dependent on Him. So there are certain characteristics that belong to God and belong to God alone. And then there's characteristics that belong to God that we can share in. He thinks, we think. He loves, we can love. He's rational, we can be rational. So these are the communicable attributes of God. All right, so those attributes that belong to God alone are called the incommunicable attributes. N-I-N, incommunicable attributes that cannot be communicated to us. We can't participate in them. One of the attributes that God has is omnipresence. And because of that, He's everywhere. Now, there's a ramification to this. We got a break. I'm going to come back after the break. I'm going to continue on why this is important. And then we're going to jump over to Mary. We'll be right back after these messages, folks. Please stay tuned. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. So as I was saying, now, since God Himself is everywhere, then that means He is in our hearts and in our minds. We cannot share in this omnipresence of God. But Mary somehow can. Mary is able to understand, hear all of our prayers simultaneously. Now, this implies a presence of her heart in us. Of her mind in us. Now, generally, the Catholics say no, she's not present in our heart, but she can hear all of our hearts, all of our thoughts, that is, spoken and thought simultaneously in different languages all over the world. Now, that's the thing. That means, then, they have to say that she is fed the information by God and that she can comprehend all of this at once. This is one of the attributes of God's omniscience, knowing all of this simultaneously. She can do this simultaneously and know the intention of the people's hearts. And she can answer them. This is idolatry. These are the characteristics of God. They belong to God alone. And they're giving them to a created thing. Therefore, the Roman Catholic Church promotes full-scale idolatry. Unrepentant, sinful, shameful, blasphemous idolatry. That's what it does with Mary. I've got a caller. Maybe I'll talk a little bit more about the apparitions that this so-called Mary said, which is just blasphemous. And yet the Catholic Church said it's all true. Let's get to Daniel from Raleigh. Hey, Daniel, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. So what do you got, buddy?
Yeah, so just a quick question. So I have a friend that's trying to get into, you know, Christianity and the Bible, and they just started reading it. And, you know, I told him about God's goodness and that, you know, while he is a loving God, he's also fair and just. And this person is a supporter of, you know, the LGBTQ community. And so they had asked me, so if God is so loving and so just, how can he send, you know, homosexual, you know, people to hell? And I was like, well, the Bible says that, you know, it calls it an abomination. Obviously, man is supposed to be with woman and vice versa. You know, men weren't meant to be with men, right. You know, weren't meant to be with women. And so they brought up the point of, well, studies show that men and women have hormonal imbalances that can trigger them to be, you know, homosexual. So basically they were making the claim that people could be born homosexual, which you and I both know isn't true. However, I didn't want to give them an opinionated answer. I wanted to be able to point to the Bible and say, okay, well, this is what the scripture says about this, but I kind of didn't know where to look.
Okay, here's what I generally do. I'll just say something like, well, let me ask you a question here. I'm going to get to this point, but I want to ask you something. Is lying a sin? And they're going to say, well, yeah. Okay, so is it possible for someone to be born with a chemical imbalance in their brain that predisposes them to lying?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm not...
Well, how do you know? If people want to say they're born homosexual, they're born with a certain propensity. Well, can't people be born with a propensity to lie? To lust? To covet? Right? Well, is it okay if you're born with that propensity to lie? Therefore, because that's why I'm born, therefore it's okay? Is that the logic they're using?
Sir.
No. If you're born with the propensity to be selfish, is being selfish okay? If you're born with a propensity to be lustful, is that okay? No. Well, then why does homosexuality get a pass from that logic?
Yeah, I guess they were trying to make the point of saying that, you know, they were just born liking, like, for example, a man was just born liking men, which obviously we know that's spiritual, that's demonic, that's against what, you know, the Lord stands for, against what Christianity stands for. However, I kind of didn't know how to approach that because, you know, it's kind of in today's day and age, it's really a sensitive topic. You don't really want to step on anyone's toes, especially someone that...
I don't care about... I'll step on their toes. Step on their toes. Who cares?
I kind of didn't want to lead them because they came from Mormonism. No. They were, you know, researching Christianity. I kind of want to dissuade them away from the Bible.
Well, I hear you, but you don't, you know, I'm saying, I understand being cautious and wise, and I'm certainly, you know, agreeing with that. But the context here of we don't want to offend the homosexual community, LGBTQ, all that ABC stuff, because it might offend them, so what? They are offensive to us, and yet it's okay for them to be offensive to us, but we can't have our opinions? Oh, you're offending me. You know, grow up. And so what I say to people who defend homosexuality and they claim to be Christians, I'll say, well, for one thing, if you defend sin, I can't call you a brother or sister in Christ because you are not obeying the revelation of Christ, the revelation of God.
Right.
And from your perspective, if you want to say that they're born that way, then that means anyone who's born with any tendency, it's okay. If they're born with a tendency to be attracted to children, is that okay? And want to do all that stuff, is that okay? Ask them. That's their... Right? And it's called minor attracted persons, they're saying, instead of pedophilia. Now they're changing the words. And so, hey, they're born with that tendency. By the homosexual LGBTQ logic, then they have to approve of it. They have to say, yeah, it's okay. See, it just doesn't work.
That's true.
They don't think these things through. One of the reasons people don't think these things through is because the schools have dumbed down most of the population. No critical thinking, but plenty of indoctrination. It's a propaganda mill. The secular schools, I don't trust them.
Agreed.
Yeah. I don't trust him. Okay.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I kind of just didn't know how to, you know, address it. But now, you know, whenever they bring up the study, I'll definitely say kind of what you said. Like, just because someone has a propensity for, you know, mm-hmm. homosexuality, does that make it right? Because at the end of the day, it is your choice to make.
So yeah, and say it, will. I say is okay if someone's born with a propensity to be, you know, and I'm very careful on public Christian radio. But you could ask them about that with the children thing, blah, 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 and say, is that okay, too?
Correct.
Because they're born that way. Is that okay? Well, no, that's different. Why? It's the way they were born, right? So their own logic sinks their own boat, okay? All right, man?
Cool. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
All right, buddy. God bless. All right, let's get to Martin from Virginia. Hey, Martin, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Hey, thanks for your ministry and
sure.
Long-time caller. Hey, you know, you're a previous caller. I didn't get to catch the first part of the call, but I caught some of your response about the gay tendencies and such and the LGBTQXYZ mm-hmm. stuff. And, I think we do need to, I mean, we don't need to put on kid gloves when we're discussing this with sometimes family members, loved ones, or sometimes just coworkers or acquaintances. But, you know, we don't want to force them away from a loving relationship with ourselves, you know, just and we don't want to, you know, be accepting. It's you know, I have to deal with this with family members and close friends. We're really close friends that it gets tough and you can't it's hard, Matt.
Yes, it is.
I mean, if you talk science with them sometimes and you say, hey, you know, there is no gay gene. Like, no, I was born this way. There is a gay gene. Like, you show them the meta studies and you show them all those things. You know, hey, look at all the twins, genetically twins that,
right.
that you know, no. You know, it's like there's so much that, you know, certainly there are some gene expressions that you might have a tendency to be more risk-taking or risk-averse. You know, there's things that might lead you down a path, but there's also so much social direction that causes sometimes this belief and you know mm-hmm. how it is when someone believes something sometimes so mm-hmm. strong it's like nope, this is the way it is, it's hard.
Right.
But yeah. but as a loving Christian mm-hmm. and I know Christ came. I mean just look at all the sinners that Christ loved and saved and obviously said no more, right? So
yeah.
It's hard to get that message and I mean obviously
but they don't
I'm
care.
So far from Christ like that's so hard. Yeah, you're right. You're right. There's a militant branch. I mean you know the atheist mm-hmm. plus or the atheist the new atheists, I forget which one's more militant, but they don't care. They want to be in your face and destructive of everything that they thought that they suffered before. And that's not forgiving, that's not Christ-like.
You know, here's the thing, is the atheists, I love talking to atheists because they make assertions all the time. They'll say, you know, you Christians are wrong for condemning LGBTQ. And I say, so, let me get this straight. So you're telling me I'm wrong, it's a moral thing? That's correct. So what is it that is a universal moral truth that you're in touch with that says
right.
that you
yeah,
can impose your value.
That?
Yeah, you can impose your value on me. Please tell me how that works. And they can't.
Yeah.
yeah.
You're right. Yeah, you have to have a grounding of truth or right and wrong. And mm-hmm. what do you base that on?
That's right. And they don't
and
have
And that's where it gets hard.
Amen, brother. All right, buddy, there's a break.
All right, amen. Thanks, Matt.
All right, then. God bless. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. Last segment of the hour. Let's get to Nick from Salt Lake City. Hey, Nick, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Okay. A couple quick questions. One is, you keep mentioning you're going to be in the Salt Lake area, and I wondered, are you giving a seminar? Are you going to be speaking? Or
no, no
like
one's
going to see it.
No. No, no one's invited me to speak, but I will be down there if people want me to. But, no, I'm just going down for the Hindu festival in, where is it? Anyway, Spanish Fork, I think it is, on Saturday, Sunday. That's the goal. So I plan to come down probably Thursday, spend a day. I have a friend, Bill McKeever, and hang out with him, and then do the weekend thing and come back on Monday.
Okay, so Saturday, Sunday thing. Where is this thing located?
Spanish Fork. That's where it's supposed
to be. They have a temple there or something? Or?
I don't know. I've never been there. Maybe if Luke wants to call up real fast, he could get on the air. If he's listening, he could explain. But or I can find out and talk about it tomorrow. But that's
so you're just
I know.
Going there for a kind of a recon, huh? Or
recon? I'm going to have my camera with me. I'm going to have my hat on because it'll be sunny. And the goal is to just see what happens and witness and share the faith and just learn. And you never know.
If I get the time, I might swing by, but I'd like to make a comment on the Virgin Mary stuff that you're bringing up, or somebody brought up earlier in your show.
Mm-hmm.
I never could understand that. I know the Catholics do it, Eastern Orthodox, they're kind of, you know, they're all into the Virgin Mary stuff, but to me it's like, you know, Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. Why on earth would I pray to anybody but Jesus?
You got that right.
I don't get it. I you know, I've even brought that up to them, and they look at me like, well, you know, she interceded during the first miracle of Jesus, you know, with the wine. I go, yeah, he interceded, but when she asked Jesus to help, if you look at the response, it wasn't a very nice response. It was like,
no, it wasn't.
What have you with me, woman? You know, he was kind
That's
of rude.
Right.
So it's like, I don't know why I would ask the Virgin Mary or any of the saints for that matter. Jesus said he's the way. And in fact, I'm even wondering that when you pray Our Father who art in heaven, I'm not so sure I'm not praying to Jesus when I'm doing that, because I still have to go through Jesus to get to the Father, so...
Okay, you're good, you know, up to that point. When you're praying to the Father, you're praying to the person of the Father. The Jesus and the Father are separate persons in the doctrine of the Trinity. But you're going through Christ always, okay?
You are going through Christ, though, aren't you?
Yeah, he's our mediator. He's the only way to get to the Father. We're going through him. Right. You can pray to him, to the Spirit, to the Father, to God, to whatever. We don't understand how it all works, but that's it. But I know why people pray to Mary. It's simple. Because they're idolaters. Simple. That's why you're doing
it. I don't know, somebody many years ago says, why should I pray to anybody else? I might as well pray to the Source.
Yeah. Oh, I ask that all the time. I do the same thing. I have lots of questions for the Catholics. They always point to Mary. They'll point to their priesthood, point to their church. It's not coming to Christ. The authority of salvation is found in the church. And you got to go to Mary. You got to go to the sacraments. It's all about the church. In fact, on the radio show that's here in the area, I listen to Catholic radio every now and then, they say, come home to the church. You don't say, come home to Jesus. No, it's come home to the church. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Nice. Oh, well, the Mormons refer to everything as the church, too.
So. Yeah. All false religions point to an authority structure besides Christ. And then they use Jesus to bear witness of that authority structure. It's either a new prophet, new prophetess, or a new church. And they use Jesus to validate that. But even though Jesus has come to me, no, you got to go to the authority of the Mormon church, the authority of the Catholic church, the authority of the Orthodox church. Where do you get your authority, Matt? You know, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
Do you think it could be like a cowardice? Like, you know, you want to tell Dad something, so you tell Mom to tell Dad, you know, like you're a little kid? I wonder but, you know, when it all comes down to it, you end up telling Dad anyway. So it's like, I don't know. I just...
Well, we're not to pray to Mary. No, it's idolatry.
No.
Yeah, it's idolatry.
I don't pray to Jesus.
That's right. The Catholic Church promotes massive... sinful idolatry. Yep. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
man.
Maybe see you in Spanish. Spanish Fork, is that what you said?
Spanish Fork, I believe that's where the Hindu festival, I believe it's in Spanish Fork. So I plan to be down there Saturday, Sunday. That's the plan. We'll see what happens. Okay?
All right. Have a good
God bless. Okay. All right, let's get to, let's see, Dave from Raleigh, North Carolina. Dave, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. I certainly enjoy your CARM presentation.
Good.
Several weeks ago, there was a gentleman who called in and was asking about Dr. Greer's messages about homosexuality and lesbianism and things of this nature.
Okay, I recall.
And I was wondering, were you ever able to research Dr. Greer and the Summit Church? And they're standing in this area?
I do. Okay, I can't say yes. I can't say no, because usually what I'll do is research something that same evening, and then if I don't find something quickly, I tend to go on another project, and then I kind of forget about things. So I can't say I did or didn't, because I don't remember. But that's right. My habit is I tend to do it. I just do a lot of stuff. In fact, during the break, I'm writing an article on CARM. Literally. And then when I'm done, I got to do a Patreon video, and then I got to work on audio. So,
just do many irons in the fire.
Yes, and because that's just how it has to be in the world of Slick, you know.
Okay.
So,
well,
if you don't mind
my input,
go ahead.
I did research that after that.
Okay.
And found that there were possible confusions about Pastor Greer's sermon back in January of 2019, but he was most definitely saying that it's a sin, and as a sin, it separates you from God.
Good.
Period.
Good for him. Praise God. I like that.
So,
good. So we're going to stand in the truth of God's word. Good.
Absolutely.
Thanks for letting us know.
And I have visited the Summit Church a couple of times.
Okay.
With friends of mine who had invited me over for special services and things of this nature. And to my knowledge, Dr. Greer is a regular teacher of the Bible, period.
Good. Sounds good.
If God doesn't say it, he doesn't say it.
Good. Well, I went through the Summit Church statement of faith. There's only one thing I would prefer they reworded. Where Jesus, if it's the same church, could have said Summit Church in that area, is that he paid the penalty for our sin. And that's not what the Bible says. It says he bore our sins, not the penalty of. But it's a minor difference, but could be significant depending on some other stuff. But other than that, they believe in immersion as baptism, and that seems to be fine. And so it seems like a good church. No women pastors and elders, so that's good. Good. All right.
Well, at any rate, I don't listen to it every night, but when I do, I certainly being rewarded and challenged about some of the things that I have thought about. Like, I hope that we are pre-tribulational rapture.
Me too.
I don't know that, so I'm not prepared for it.
That's right.
I'm prepared to be here to be counted the long way.
I'm with you. Pray for prepare for post. That's what it is.
Exactly.
All right, brother.
Exactly.
Good stuff.
God bless,
right,
brother.
Man.
You take care and keep the path.
You too. God bless. Thanks. All right, let's get to Joseph from North Carolina. Joseph, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I was doing a study on some of the Greek words surrounding the homosexual controversy.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if you thought there was a correlation between Matthew 19:5 use of the word flesh as in one flesh and Jude 1:7 use of strange flesh. Do you think those correlate in terms of one being positive and the other being negative?
Well, is it the word sarx? And Matthew 19:5 is the word sarx for flesh. I'm assuming it's the same thing in Jude 7. Which strange flesh, which is also sarx. So words mean what they mean in context. So it looks like what's happening in Jude 7 is the issue of the fallen angels having relations with women producing Nephilim. And in Matthew 19:5, it's completely different context. It's about marriage. Okay.
Right. But in Jude 1:7, it says that the other cities were doing this as well.
Oh.
So it couldn't have been the angels, right?
You're right. You are absolutely correct. I just saw that. Well, wait a minute. It's not about that. It's about Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the strange flesh, thank you for that. The strange flesh probably is the homosexual stuff going on.
So could we say that the
19:5
passage about one flesh or no?
It might not be restricted only to homosexuality. It might include bestiality.
Right.
But anyway, what's your question, though?
Yeah, I was just wondering if you thought that
those, that usage of flesh, do you think the author of Jude was implying or calling back to this Matthew 19:5 passage or not?
I didn't hear what the part, some of the words were muffled. Referring back to what?
Oh, I was wondering if you thought that the author of Jude was referring back to the 19:5 passage
of
one flesh.
No, I don't believe so. Nope.
Okay.
No.
All right.
They're different contexts. All right?
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
God bless. Okay, let's get to the last caller, Joseph from Texas. Joseph, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, man. How's it going?
It's going, man. It's going. Got a couple of minutes. What do you got?
I have a quick question. I believe I called you on last, I think last year, regarding how old was the Earth. Do you hold to the view of the Earth being older than 4.5 billion years old?
No, I do not believe it's that old. No, I don't believe it's that old. I don't know how old it is. I don't believe it's millions of years old, though. I don't.
Okay, because I know there's some other Christians that they affirm that it's 6,000 years old, according to Genesis, I guess, and to now.
Yeah.
To exactly get that number. But.
Yeah, the issue with that, I have no problem with it, but there's an issue, is we don't know how long Adam was alive before the fall. The implication seems to be pretty quickly, but it's not necessitated by that. So I don't know how old the Earth is. I don't believe it's millions of years old, though. I don't have any problem with it being 10, 15,000 years old, 20, 30. I don't have any problem with it, but I wouldn't die on that hill. Okay, so it's probably quite young. And there's, even though there's the evolutionary theory necessitates a very old Earth, there are a lot of problems in the dating methods in evolutionary theory, or geography, geology, excuse me. There is a lot of problems with it.
Yeah, because okay, all right, man. Well, anyways, I know it's already 5:58. Show's about to be over. But anyways, thank you for taking the call.
All right, man. God bless.
All right.
All right. Hey, we're out of time, and got about 30 seconds left, I think. Nobody waiting online, so by God's grace, I'll be back on there tomorrow. I do plan to be down there in the Salt Lake City area Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I'm going to see if we can set up a little dinner someplace on a Friday if my friend Laura will be so kind as to arrange a place if it's not too noisy. And if you guys know about a place, maybe it'll be fun. And hopefully it'll work out if my schedule allows it. All right. Hey, there's the music. May the Lord bless you all, and I hope and pray that by God's grace, you have a great evening. The Lord bless you. Talk to you tomorrow. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.